Amen. Don't you love Christmas songs? Praise the Lord in the Christmas season. And praise the Lord. And one thing about Christmas is, every now and then we get to see Ben Potter. And I'm so proud of Ben. And he is such a blessing. We have a lot of great memories of him growing up and God working in his life. And just a lot of exciting things. I get to thinking about some of the stories and times we talk. And you know, Ben is a unique person, but we all are. And he's gone to Bible college, graduated, and now he is working at Grace Baptist College, and he teaches college English. And he's good, always has been good at English. And he is also the bus director there at the Grace Baptist Church in Gaylord. And we've had Ben preach. He's a good preacher and a good young man. Listen to him. Let God speak to your heart. Ben, you come.
All right, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. It's Christmas time, so it's to be expected that we would read out of the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2. While you guys are turning there, Pastor had asked me to introduce to you guys some of my family members who are here. I have my mom, obviously, is here, my brothers, but then my grandparents, Paul and Carol Bradstreet, they're here tonight. And then Uncle Kevin, if you can raise your hand real quick. That's Uncle Kevin Bradstreet and his wife, Amy, and Uncle Wayne over there. Uncle Wayne and his wife, Marcia, and my cousins, Kaylin, Ben, Matthew, and Rachel. And they're all here tonight. We had a big family get-together, and they all came out to church tonight. So good to have them here with us. It's been an interesting year. What's today? Today is the 22nd, yes. So about a week ago, we closed out our semester for the college. I finished my first semester as a college instructor, professor, whatever you want to call it. And then last week was our last week at the Christian school. So first year teaching is out of the way, and it's been really exciting. It's great to work up at Grace Baptist Church up in Gaylord. Dr. Jenkins, John Jenkins, he's a phenomenal person to work for. It's a great learning experience in the ministry. And it's just been a great year, good semester, and I'm excited to be able to be here and see familiar faces. And it's always good to see Berean Baptist Church carrying on and continuing in the ministry. And it's just good to be here tonight. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And now verses 13 and 14 is where I want us to pay extra special attention to. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, the Sunday night before Christmas, you're almost obligated to preach a Christmas-themed message, and I'm going to do that tonight. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2, but I want to preach a message that the application of that message can be carried all throughout the year. Luke chapter 2, we're going to get into the message in just a second, but I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer. And dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and for this Sunday, another day in your house, God, another day to worship you and to learn it from your servant, God, for the great message we had this morning from Pastor Rogers. God, I pray that we would take that to heart. And God, I pray that you would be with the services tonight, that you would guide my words, guide my thoughts. I pray that everything I would say would bring honor and glory to you, and that your spirit would be at work in the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's a very familiar story, obviously, the story of Christ's birth, the announcement of Christ's birth to the shepherds. I'm not going to go into a great deal of background because we've heard it so many times before, but obviously one angel, comes to meet with the shepherds and announce the birth of Christ to the shepherds. This angel tells the shepherds about the birth of Christ. And right as soon as this angel is done, there was one angel who came to speak with the shepherds and tell them about the birth of Christ. This angel is joined by a multitude. We don't know how many that was, but a multitude of the heavenly host. And we believe, obviously, that would just be more angels. this one angel was joined by more angels, and this and they made a pronouncement. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, this pronouncement was obviously related to Christ's birth. And this pronouncement was directed towards two people. First of all, towards God, and secondly, towards the earth. Towards God, that said that because of Christ's birth, let's give glory to God. Amen. Let's give glory to God because the Messiah has come. Yeah. And now there's hope for the people of the world. That was the part of this pronouncement that was directed towards God. It said, let's worship God because of all that. Let's give glory to him. But then there's a second part of this pronouncement, and that part of this pronouncement is directed toward the people on earth. It says, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. Now, with the birth of Christ, this peace was now possible. Amen. With the birth of Christ, now, there's as I just said, there's hope. For all mankind. There's hope for you and me today. There was hope for the shepherds in that field that night. Christ came into Israel at a time when it was when they were under the oppressive Roman regime. They were under that control, and there was a lot of dissatisfaction, a lot of unrest in these days. And when this multitude of the heavenly host came, they said, because of Christ's birth, because of Christmas, you can be at peace. Amen. Now, the word for peace in this passage is the Greek word eirene. It means prosperity, quietness, rest, to set at one again. It's derived from a Greek verb that means to join. So because of Christ's birth, we can be at peace. We can be at rest. The world can be joined together. So it talks about peace, but then the next phrase says goodwill towards men. Now, goodwill, that word is eudokia. It's a Greek word, and it means kindness, good pleasure. And again, this is all possible now because of Christ's birth. The Bible says, on earth now, you can have peace. On earth, let's have men be good towards other men. Let's have men have peace. Goodwill towards other men because of Christ's birth. And what we see in Luke chapter 2, we see a presentation of Christ. We see a presentation of Christ as a Christ of peace. We see that because of Christ, we can have peace. As I've said multiple times over again, because of Christ, peace is possible now. And we get a representation of Christ, of a Christ of peace. Now, that all being said, I have three texts tonight. One is Luke chapter 2. The second text, the second place I would like us to turn is actually Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, we'll begin reading in verse 32. This is Jesus talking. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 34, think that not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. But notice verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. We have a completely different picture of Christ in Matthew chapter 10. We have a picture in Luke chapter 2 of a Christ of peace. We have a babe in a manger who's representing hope for all mankind. And then we get to Matthew chapter 10, and we have a picture over here of Christ as a Christ that's not bringing peace. He's bringing a sword. He's divisive. He's controversial. We have two different presentations of Christ. A Christ of peace, and then a Christ of war. So let me ask, who's Christ? What kind of a Christ do we have this Christmas? Well, I looked at the discrepancy there, what seems to be a discrepancy between these two concepts, and at first I thought, well, maybe this isn't a reference to when the angel said, and on earth peace, maybe that wasn't so much a reference to peace like we know it. Maybe that's just talking about peace. There will eventually be peace because of Christ's birth, and someday in heaven we'll have peace, but that's not what it says. It says, and on earth peace. So that isn't an option, and I thought about it a little more. I read over it a couple more times, and I thought, well, maybe it's just talking about internal peace, the peace that I can have within myself, the peace I can have in rough circumstances. But that's not what it's talking about either. Because it says, and on earth peace, goodwill toward other men. It's a peace that's going from person to person. It's a peace between people. So what does it mean? Do we serve a Christ of peace? Or do we serve a Christ of war? And when Christ says, I'm not come that I might bring peace, what does that mean? Because when he came, they said, Christ brings peace. What's the discrepancy between these two concepts? To illustrate this, maybe some of you will know where I'm going as soon as I say to turn to this passage, but turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm not going to be very long at all tonight. I'll be out in just a few minutes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So we have in Luke chapter 2, just to review, we have Luke chapter 2, the angels tell these shepherds that on earth there is peace and goodwill, one man towards another. And then we have in Matthew chapter 10, Christ says, I'm not come that we might have peace, I'm come to divide. Look at what Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. Verse 4, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What these two presentations of Christ, Luke chapter 2, a Christ of peace, Matthew chapter 10, a Christ of war, these aren't at odds with each other. There are some times in our lives, though, where we need to take up arms and we need to fight. And where it's a time of war, of spiritual warfare within our own lives, of warfare as we seek to win other souls to Christ, as we seek to make a difference in our community here in Adrian, Michigan, as we seek to push forward with the cause of Christ. There's a time for war. But sometimes there's a time for peace, too. Sometimes it's a time for us to focus on what unites us. Amen. And sometimes there's a time for peace to be at rest, as that word indicates. To be at rest, or at rest. A time for goodwill towards one towards another. Yes. And that's the whole point of my message tonight. And the title of my message, and like I said, I'm not going to be long, A Time of Peace. This Christmas, I want it to be a time of peace in my life. It's been a long year. It's we're here heading towards the end of the year. It's been a long year. Things that have happened in this year that I never, ever would have dreamed would happen. Good things, some of them, and bad things, others. And I want to take some time, and I want to have a time of peace in my own life. And I want to take some time and rest, and I want to be more peaceful towards other people. Because, yes, there is a time to fight. And I'm not going to go into great detail tonight over how you identify the time to fight as opposed to the time of peace, the time of war as opposed to the time of peace. I'm not going to focus on that tonight. I just want to focus on what will happen when you have a time of peace. What will happen within you and without. Peace within and peace without. Those are just two simple points that I have to my message tonight. We'll be out of here. Peace within. Turn to, don't turn there. I'll read it to you. John chapter 14, verses 26 or 28. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Christ brings a different kind of peace than you will find anywhere else. Christ, when he came, when he was born so many Christmases ago, he brought with him a peace that you will never find anywhere else. This is the peace within that I'm referring to. This is the peace within your own life. The peace that no matter what's happening anywhere else, everything's okay. The peace that passes understanding. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Those are all going to reflect on our attitudes towards others. And meekness, temperance, faith, those are all going to reflect on our attitudes towards God. But love, joy, and that word, peace, that all affects what's going on inside of us. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And fruit of the Spirit, fruit gives with it the concept of it needs time to develop. And you have to feed it and nurture it and let it grow. And that's my challenge to you guys tonight as far as this peace within. Make 2014 a time when you nurture and feed that peace within your heart. Amen. Because God has provided that to you. With the advent of Christ, with the birth of Christ, that's available to you. Amen. Christ said he left his peace with us. Amen. That's something that's available to each and every one of you and to anybody here who's struggling tonight. Connect with that peace that God has left for you. That's peace within. Secondly, it's peace without. That's peace with other people. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Eleanor Roosevelt said, it isn't enough to talk about peace. One must believe in it. And it isn't enough to believe in it. One must work at it. It's not something that comes natural for me when I have a problem with somebody else in the church. It's not something that comes natural to just let it go and be at peace. My natural inclination is to fight it out to its death. But if we're going to have peace without, we must be people of unity. It's as I said at the beginning of the message, there comes a point where we have to stop, take a look at what's going on around us, take a look at what goes on around us in our church and say, what unites us? How great is what divides us as opposed to what unites us? And focus on those things that unite us. and focus on those things which make for peace. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Let's pursue those. Let's pursue, for example, we can all agree that we have got to be a lighthouse in this community. I was actually talking to Pastor Jenkins just a couple weeks ago. He was talking about Berean and how he sees Berean when everybody else in the state looks at Berean as the lighthouse for this section of our state. It is important that we follow after that. It's important that we be united by that. It's important that that's something that will follow, that will make peace with each other, is if we focus on things such as that. We must be people of unity. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's Colossians 3:15. Secondly, and I'm all done, we must be people, first of all, of unity. If we're going to have peace without, peace with other people, we must be people of unity, first of all. Secondly, people of forgiveness. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I'm not going to go into a lot. That's a lengthy passage there that speaks about how we have peace now because of Christ's death on the cross. Christ forgave us. Christ forgave us, giving us peace. And the Bible teaches us that we ought to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. On October 2nd, 2006, in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, Charles Roberts was the man's name, walked into an Amish school, lined 10 girls up and shot them. You'll remember the story. It's of the Amish school shooting a few years back. It was a devastating, devastating situation, a horrible thing to come to such peaceful people. There's no clear evidence why he did what he did. He did make the statement, though, that he was still bitter at God for something that had happened in his past. He was bitter at God, and catch this, he didn't have peace within himself. So you see what he did to other people. But he shot these people, these 10 girls. I read an account online that one of these girls, she can't even feed herself to this day. Several of them died, but one of them lived, and they said this girl who lived, she can't even feed herself to this day. And that's 2006, 2013, that's 7 years later. She, not long after this catastrophe happened, after this tragedy, his widow, Charles Roberts' widow, her name was Marie. Marie Roberts and her children were at her parents' house, trying to get away from everything, trying to find a little stability, collect themselves and decide, where do we go from here? My husband just killed 10 children. What happens next? Her dad, she was staying with her parents, her dad said, Marie, take the kids, get downstairs right now, because there's a group of people coming up the road. And they'd been under so much media scrutiny, they were terrified, first of all, for the media, and secondly, that the repercussions that her husband's act had had on the community would come back to haunt them. He says, Marie, take the kids, go downstairs, and I'll let you know what happens. What this group of people coming up the road were, they were actually Amish people. The victims, families from the shooting. And they came up and they said, they knocked on the door and they said, is Marie here? We have a few things we'd like to give her. And Marie came upstairs, and these Amish families, these victims, said, anything you need, we're here to help you. Any pain you're going through, we want to help you deal with that. We forgave your husband for what he did, and we just want to be a help to you guys. And I think about that, and I think about the petty little things sometimes that I have a hard time forgiving somebody else for. The ways that I let things come between me and peace with other people. And the way I don't have goodwill towards other people because of petty little things that get in my way between me and somebody else. Well, the title of my message, again, is A Time of Peace. I want, in my life, internally, to have peace within. And my challenge to myself and towards everybody in this room is let's have peace without as well. Amen. Let's, in the new year, strive a little harder to be at peace with each other, be people of unity, people of forgiveness, and not let anything get in our way of the things that, and follow after things that make for peace. Follow after the things that are important. This Christmas season, let's evaluate our lives. Let's take a look at a babe in the manger who brought with him, sure, division, but he brought peace. And he made peace possible to us today. My challenge to you, let's all engage in a time of peace, internal peace and external peace, and let's be people of peace. Pastor Rogers.
It says in Romans 12, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as lieth in you, do your very best to live peace. Well, but that person did this and they did that. The Bible says right before that, recompense to no man evil for evil. And then do your best to live peaceably with all men. And it is possible. It's not possible of ourselves. Oh, get that guy. We had some people do some damage out here yesterday that we were trying to help them. Their car broke down and they ended up doing some vandalism. And it's like, oh, if I could just, you know. And then I think, no. That's no. As much as lieth in you. It's possible, but it's only possible through Jesus. And praise God for the peace he gives. Several of those verses I read to Bill before he went to heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you. What a blessing to have that peace. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.